last episode, Jesus opened the scriptures to the two men as they walked together toward the village. As Jesus continued to speak, the men still did not recognize him. And yet, as he explained the scriptures, the words were suddenly alive. Alive with meanings that never had been clear before. Episode 28.
In the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together in a room with the doors shut. They were afraid of the religious leaders. During that evening, Jesus suddenly appeared to them and said,
"Peace be with you."
The disciples were afraid that they were seeing a ghost, but Jesus reassured them. The disciples became silent, waiting for the next moment. The disciples arranged themselves in a circle around the Lord. Jesus stretched out his hands, slowly turning his body as the men gazed at his hands. The memory of the Lord hanging on the cross filled their minds as they looked at the nail prints in his hands. Then Jesus opened his garment, slowly turned his body as the disciples, one by one, looked at the wound in Jesus' side, the wound where the Roman guard had thrust his spear. After showing the disciples his wounds, Jesus permitted the disciples to come to him, to touch him, to see that he was truly flesh and bone. It seemed so unreal. Slowly the disciples were realizing that it really was Jesus. He was truly raised from the dead. As the joy among the disciples increased, the Lord shared the meal of boiled fish with all the men. There was yet so much for the disciples to understand. These men were going to be entrusted with bringing the good news about salvation to the world, salvation through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus talked with the disciples, continued to reveal the scriptures to them, carefully explaining what they were to do in proclaiming the message.
"Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am also sending you."
After saying this, Jesus breathed on the disciples and spoke to each one of them.
"Receive the Holy Spirit."
The disciples stood quietly as Jesus went to them, one at a time, pausing, looking into each one's eyes, placing his hands on the shoulders, pulling the disciple closer, breathing on the disciple. None of the disciples could find words to describe this experience. Something happened. They each were so different, still themselves, but different. They would soon learn what it meant to have the Holy Spirit within them. There was a power that could not be explained. There was a power that would enable the disciples to proclaim the good news and would even help them to face physical death without fear. Thomas was not with the other disciples when Jesus appeared to them. When Thomas saw the disciples again, they told him that they had seen the Lord. Thomas refused to believe this.
"When I see the nail prints in his hands and put my hand into the wound on his side, then I will believe you."
8 days later, the disciples were together again, including Thomas. The doors of the room were shut. Jesus appeared to them and greeted them.
"Peace be with you."
Thomas drew back in fear. His words of unbelief, words that had seemed so bold, were now embarrassing. Jesus went to Thomas.
"Thomas, reach out with your fingers. Touch the nail prints in my hands. Take your hand, put your hand into my side. Do not doubt, but believe."
"My Lord and my God."
"Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. There is a special blessing for those who do not see me, and yet they believe."
The 11 disciples returned to Galilee, to their homes. Jesus had said he would meet them there. Once at home, Peter decided to go fishing. He and some of the other men fished all night, but they didn't have much luck. As the sun started to rise, they could just barely see a man standing on the shore, but they could not recognize him. The man called out to them.
"Children, do you have any fish?"
"No, we've been fishing all night, and we haven't caught a thing."
"Cast your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch of fish."
The disciples did what the man suggested. Very soon after casting their net, they were not able to haul in the net because the number of fish was so great. The disciples were amazed. John, shielding his eyes from the rising sun, took a closer look at this man on the shore. His eyes widened in surprise, and he turned to Peter.
"Look, it's the Lord!"
Peter, always the spontaneous one, threw off his outer garment, plunged into the water, and began to swim to shore. The others in the boat secured the catch of fish and headed the boat for shore, the boat moving slowly with the heavy load. Jesus already had a fire going, grilling some fish. Jesus told the men with the boat to bring some of the fish they had just caught. The Lord made them breakfast. Jesus and the disciples spoke with each other as they ate their breakfast along the shore. This was the third time the Lord had appeared to his disciples since he was raised from the dead. After they finished eating breakfast, Peter became uneasy. He and the Lord had something standing between them. Peter had denied Jesus at the moment of his greatest need. Peter didn't know what to say now. But Jesus knew what to say. He spoke to Peter using his first given name.
"Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others love me?"
How could Peter say that he loved the Lord more than the others did? The others had run away, but Peter had cursed and sworn that he never knew him.
"Lord, you know that I love you."
"Tend my lambs."
The Lord still had work for Peter to do. He was to take care of Jesus' sheep, his followers, just as Jesus, the Good Shepherd, had done. But Peter became anxious as Jesus spoke again.
"Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
"My Lord, you know I love you."
"Shepherd my sheep." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?"
"Oh Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you."
"Tend my sheep."
Jesus had asked Peter three times to declare his love and loyalty. Three times. I wonder, was it one time for each denial that Peter had made? Peter was very sorrowful. Deep in his heart, Peter knew that the Lord forgave him. Jesus had forgiven him before he had denied that he knew the Lord. Jesus was very serious when he now warned Peter again, warned him that he would die a harsh death. Peter could now understand that the Lord trusted him, and Peter knew, deep inside himself, that he would never deny the Lord again. Peter would be able to face any future trials, face those trials in the strength the Lord would provide. For the rest of Peter's life, every time he warmed himself by a fire, he would probably remember that he had denied the Lord, and he would remember that the Lord had forgiven him. The Lord now looked around the fire, looked at each of his disciples. He spoke softly, but his words were like thunder.
"All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
That promise of Jesus, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age," these words have comforted his followers even to this day. And now, Andrew, I would like you to listen to the first part of a letter that was written by Luke, the writer of one of the Gospels. Luke is writing to his friend Theophilus. The complete letter in the New Testament is called the Acts of the Apostle. The letter describes the glorious ending of one story and an exciting beginning to another story that is still continuing today. Listen to the words of Luke. "Dear Theophilus, in the first report that I wrote to you, I told you about the things that Jesus began to do and to teach, that is, until the day when he was taken up into heaven. This happened after Jesus gave instructions to his disciples. Jesus presented himself alive after he was raised from the dead. Jesus gathered his disciples on the Mount of Olives. He commanded them to remain in the city of Jerusalem until they received the promise of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the farthest part of the earth." When Jesus finished saying these things, he was lifted up while they were looking, and a cloud received the Lord out of their sight. They looked intently into the sky while the Lord was rising into the cloud. Suddenly, two men in white clothing stood beside them. One of the men spoke to the disciples.
"You men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up into heaven, this same Jesus will come again in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven."
After this, the disciples returned to Jerusalem as the Lord had commanded them.
What happened after the disciples returned to Jerusalem?
Well, the disciples remained in Jerusalem. Just as the Lord had promised, the disciples and many others were filled with the Holy Spirit. This wonderful event happened at the same time as the Feast of Pentecost. The followers of Jesus Christ carried the gospel all over the world, and that is still happening today. In almost every Easter service, the pastor or minister will cry out the glad news, "Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is risen!" And the congregation shouts back, "He is risen indeed!" And now, the good news is still being proclaimed around the world. Every believer knows that Jesus Christ lives, that Jesus Christ will return just as he has promised. The words of Jesus Christ are still a source of comfort and encouragement to all who love the Lord.
"I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Maxis looked at Andrew thoughtfully. Andrew was 11 years old and on the way to becoming a young man. But Maxis could still remember the little 3-year-old when he first met him. Maxis had taught Andrew songs about Jesus. There was one special song that he sang with the children week after week. "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." Maxis asked Andrew a question.
"Andrew, tell me what you did when you became a believer in Jesus Christ."
"Well, I feel like I always loved Jesus, but I don't remember the day that I started. But I do remember there was one day, a day when I realized that I could never be perfect. I also know that I didn't always do the right thing, and that I needed help. So I prayed to God and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me and to help me."
"And what happened after you prayed, Andrew?"
"Well, first of all, I was different. Even my parents noticed. Since then, I want to please the Lord, to live my life the way He wants me to live."
"Do you still do the wrong thing? Do you still commit sins?"
"I feel like I do almost every day. Mostly it's when I'm not thinking about the Lord and just doing what I want. Or sometimes I get a mean feeling and I say something that I shouldn't. But I ask the Lord to forgive me whenever that happens."
"That's a good idea, Andrew. Coming to the Lord as often as necessary. You know, there's a very reassuring scripture in the Bible. That scripture says, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Andrew, those words were written to you and me. No matter how long we live, we're going to need the grace of God every day. You know, Andrew, I like a wonderful scripture in the Bible. It says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness."
And so, our story has come to an end. The words that St. John wrote in the Gospel are a fitting conclusion to the story. Jesus' disciples saw him do many other miraculous signs besides the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. All of the participants whose voices were heard in this program have performed this task as a loving gift of service. Our prayerful desire was simply to share the story of the Messiah. To God be the glory. Amen.